Hello and welcome to The Docket, presented by the San Antonio Express News with courts and crime reporter Elizabeth Zavala. I'm Luis Vasquez. How are you doing today, Elizabeth?
I'm doing good, Luis. And yourself?
I'm doing great. The Docket has been MIA for quite some time. And so for this first episode back, we're going to be taking a look at some of the court cases that have been scheduled for 2020, but due to the coronavirus pandemic have been thrown in flux. We have a bunch of cases to talk about. Which one do you think we should start with?
Well, Luis, I'm going to say that we should start with the capital murder trial of Otis McCain. Now, Otis McCain is accused in the brutal killing of San Antonio Police Detective Benjamin Marconi. And this was a really horrible case. This happened on a Sunday around noon on November 20th, 2016. Detective Marconi was actually working an overtime shift as a patrol officer that day when he pulled over a person for a traffic stop, ironically in front of public safety headquarters. And it was there where he was shot to death. He was basically shot behind the head, didn't see it coming, right there in front of public safety headquarters.
I remember this story because there was a lot of chaos that day. We didn't know what was going on. We just knew that there was a shooting. It was a really chaotic day. It was a lot of fear that day, especially because we didn't know why or what had happened. If it was something, if police officers were being targeted, or if it was something different.
Right. I do remember that day specifically because I had just gotten out of church and I was having lunch with my family. And I was scheduled to work that day, and I got the text pretty much around noon. And you're correct. I mean, it was just such a chilling thing to see that an officer was down on a Sunday afternoon. And, you know, as the details began to emerge, you know, it was something that just for a long time just really captivated, you know, San Antonio and Bexar County.
So tell us about the court, the trial that preceded it.
Well, you know, as we have been dealing with COVID-19 since March, this particular case is, again, from 2016. So we are now actually 4 years away from when this tragedy occurred. So, ironically, right in the middle of March, well, actually the beginning of March, a large panel was summoned to the Bexar County Courthouse specifically for this trial because this is going to be a death penalty case. He's charged with capital murder of a police officer. So, on March 6th, about 1,000 people had been called into Bexar County. And from that group of people, they were to start doing what we call jury selection, is also called voir dire. And especially for a capital murder case, there's a lot that's involved in that. Specifically, when you're asking for the death penalty, you are asking people if they're willing to put someone to death. So that particular questioning takes a lot longer than it does for just a regular jury trial. Normally, they will seat a jury in a day for a murder case or any other big, you know, felony case like that. But when you're talking about death, it takes a lot longer. So they were anticipating that they would start on March 6th, end sometime in April, and not long after that, start the actual trial. So, as you know, in mid-March, COVID-19 began its spread in Texas and through the nation. So it was in mid-March when officials here in San Antonio, operating under the guidance of the Texas Supreme Court and the Court of Criminal Appeals through the Office of Court Administration, decided that they should suspend trials, jury trials specifically, because of the potential for the spread of COVID-19.
So this was a, you know, for by the nature of it, it was a very violent crime, but also it's also a major court case because if I remember, you wrote a story that it was the first death penalty case in San Antonio in about 5 years or so.
Yes, it's been about 5 years since the last capital murder trial was held in Bexar County, and that was the death of Bexar County Sheriff Sergeant Kenneth Van, who was sitting in his patrol car at a stoplight around 2 or 3 in the morning. In I believe this happened in 2011, and he was shot about 24 times by a high-powered rifle. Defendant in that case, Mark Anthony Gonzalez, was found guilty and he was sentenced to death. So he is currently on death row for that case. But it took about 4 or 5 years for that case to actually go to trial. And so it has been a while. I mean, these capital cases, they take a long time because, as I said, of the sensitivity around the death penalty. But it has been a long time since San Antonio has seen a trial of that magnitude. And that case lasted, that trial lasted about a month.
So where are we now on this particular case? What's the outlook?
Well, in speaking with Judge Ron Rangel, he is the presiding judge of the 379th State District Court. He also was elected among his peers to be what's called the administrative judge for the civil and criminal district courts here in Bexar County. So he has been working not just on this particular case, which he will be the judge over the McCain capital murder trial. So he's been in the middle of trying to get that jury panel, that prospective panel, back into the courthouse to start trying to seat a jury of 12 and 2 alternates so that they can hear this case. But with his administrative judge duties, he's had to work with the Supreme Court, you know, through the Office of Court Administration in the particulars of how they would do this, because currently we are under an order that they cannot have in-person jury trials because of the amount of COVID cases that are happening all over the state. I mean, there probably are some small cities or counties where they really don't have the big cases that they may be able to do some of these in-person trials. But here in Bexar County, we have not had a trial. Or there's been some bench trials where, you know, for smaller cases. But as far as like a murder trial or anything of that nature, that has not happened because they have not had in-person juries other than grand jurors who have been serving for a couple of months. But so right now, what they did was as of October 26th, the parties involved in the Otis McCain capital murder trial devised a way to be able to conduct individual jury selection, meaning that they will call one person at a time and they will interview them in a large room and where masks are being worn, where people are more than 6 feet apart from each other. And there's also plexiglass involved in there just so that they can protect the people that are in that particular room. So they are trying to get this done. And as I said earlier, when you're talking doing it one person at a time, already under strict protocols, the process is going to take a very long time. And Judge Rangel has said in regard to seating that particular jury that he has no idea when Otis McCain's trial will begin. But at this point, it likely will be sometime next year.
I I was looking back at one of your articles from May. I believe you spoke with Joe Gonzalez, and one glaring concern that really stuck out from something he said was that we agree that we want to be cautious about bringing in jury panels too quickly. You want a juror to be laser focused on evidence and the case and make sure your juror feels safe in that environment. That keeping them focused and making sure that they're attentive might be very difficult via video conferencing, and then making sure they feel safe and in person must be tricky too. That I feel like they're caught between a rock and a hard place here.
They really are, because I mean, basically every official that I have spoken to since pretty much mid-March, judicial officials, the district attorney, even the county judge and Mayor Ron Nuremberg, everyone is on the same page that the most important thing is for people to feel safe. I spoke with our fourth regional administrative judge, who is based here in Bexar County, Judge Sid Harrell. And he also reiterated that the overriding concern is to protect the public, the litigants, and the personnel who work in the courtroom. Because as you know, if you've ever been to jury duty in Bexar County or anywhere, they call thousands of people. And you can't even find a place to park around the courthouse when they have jury duty because there's so many people there. So, I mean, can you imagine what it would be like to be around all those people during a pandemic?
Yeah, no, I can't. It's hard to even think about large gatherings right now.
Exactly.
But let's move to a different case. If I
well, you know what? On. Can I piggyback on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
One of the things that you know you raised that they didn't want to bring juries in very quickly, but Joe Gonzalez has also raised some concerns that if you try to hold a jury trial virtually, that you really can't control, you know, you really can't see people's faces. You can't see what they're doing on the other side of the screen. And, you know, one of the things that he raised was that, and they always tell people this in jury duty, is that they cannot do their own investigations. So one of the things that Joe Gonzalez had said was, you know, we can't confirm, you know, we can't prove that the person who is sitting in front of their laptop isn't looking at, you know, the crime scene on another computer.
Let's move on to some other cases that we're supposed to be for this year. I'm thinking of Edmund Johnson, who was accused of arson and the death of a San Antonio firefighter, Scott Deem. He was supposed to be on trial this year, wasn't he?
Yes, Eamon Johnson, he's accused of arson and murder in the death of San Antonio firefighter Scott Deem. And this was a huge fire that happened on the northeast side off of Loop 410 on May 18th, 2017. And what investigators were able to find was that Johnson is accused of basically starting the fire that burned up the gym that he owned. And in the course of fighting this fire, Scott Deem fell through the roof with another firefighter who was injured, and Scott Deem died. And again, this was a situation where Johnson allegedly was behind on some bills. He was, you know, in a money crunch. And the allegation is that because of that, he started the fire to possibly collect on insurance. Now, again, you know, he's not gone to trial yet, but that is what he's accused of.
I believe you wrote a story from back in 2019 that I was looking at where he was trying to get his trial moved away from Bexar County. How did that go?
Oh, my gosh. That was a very interesting hearing because Eamon Johnson's lawyers argued that this case was covered so much in local media and across the state that they felt that Eamon Johnson could not get a fair trial in San Antonio. And they were looking at moving it to, and usually when this happens, you know, there's Wilson County that's close by, Atascosa, and, you know, you've got the counties to the north to Comal and even as far as Travis. And I mean, this case was covered so much because, as you, as I mentioned, it was a huge fire that was on every station that night because of how large it was. And also, you know, a firefighter was killed and there were so many things that were happening in the community. You had, you know, media outlets writing about it. You had, you know, vigils and people, you know, remembering Scott Deem. Even the San Antonio Spurs had a Scott Deem Day for, you know, to remember him. So his attorneys argued that when you have that much media coverage, you know, how can you possibly see an impartial jury? But after the judge reviewed that for a while, he came back and decided that there would not be a change of venue in this case.
So where is Johnson's case now?
Right now, Eamon Johnson, and, you know, because we don't really know what's happening with COVID-19, currently online court records list a trial date of March 12th for him. So that gives us a couple of months. You know, I guess we could see what the rate of COVID-19 cases are in San Antonio at that time to see if we end up having trials, because it's the positivity rate in San Antonio is at 10% right now. And Judge Rangel, who, as I said earlier, is working with the Office of Court Administration and with several of, you know, talking with his judges, speaking with officials from San Antonio's Metropolitan Health District also to keep tabs on the positivity rate. You know, it just all depends on what the numbers look like. Judge Rangel had said a few months ago that he was looking to see that San Antonio and Bexar County's positivity rate would be 5% or less. And right now, as of yesterday, we're at 10%. And at the COVID-19 briefing this week, Mayor Nuremberg said we were going in the wrong direction on that. So there is that, you know.
Well, yeah, we'll have to see how the landscape changes. We'll have a new administration coming in, vaccines. I understand it must be hard to tell. We have a couple big cases. I see another one right here. Baby King J. Davila, that was a big case that I do remember. Do you want to update people on that one?
Oh, yes. This was a very tragic. I mean, all of these cases are tragic, and I don't mean to be, you know, belittle them by using the same word, but San Antonio was heartbroken and captivated with the initially what was reported as a kidnapping of Baby King J. Davila on January 3rd of 2019. His father, and that's kind of in dispute right now, but the person who he was living with, Christopher Davila, is accused of injury to a child in the death of Baby King J. And according to reports, Davila initially told police that King was in the back seat of his car when it was stolen from a gas station. And this became quite a media event because, you know, people were calling in and everyone was concerned, and there were family members that were saying, you know, help us find the baby. And then days later, after the reports of this kidnapping, Christopher Davila led authorities to the child's body, which had been placed in a backpack and was buried in a field on the northeast side, according to court records. So we, at this point, really don't know exactly how baby King Jay was killed or who did that, which, you know, probably accounts for the charge that Christopher Davila has right now, which is injury to a child by omission. And he had told authorities that he had been watching the child that day and that he was playing video games and the child was in a car seat and had fallen off the bed. And the implication there was that he possibly might have hit his head. And also implicated in this particular case is Christopher Davila's mother, Beatriz Sampaio, and Christopher Davila's cousin, Angie Torres. And each of the women faced tampering with evidence charges in the case. And, you know, so all three at this point on the online court records have a trial date of December 7th, which is just around the corner. But that obviously is not going to happen because of the continuing order of suspension from the state and the numbers of COVID cases in San Antonio.
What happens when December 7th comes around? Are we going to get an update of some sort, or are we going to have to wait longer to find out more on this case?
It's likely that parties will have a conference before the judge in this case. Because this happened early on in 2019, it could have gone to trial at the end of this year, or it could have gone early next year, which, you know, that December 7th date would fall in line with that, because normally, in my discussions with Judge Rangel and other people that, you know, follow the courts, it usually takes around 2 years from the time of the arrest or indictment until someone gets to actually have their day in court. So when December 7th comes around, I imagine that parties will be talking to the judge. They will be looking at how soon they could go to trial. And, you know, until they can do that, you know, we basically are kind of in a limbo and waiting to see what happens in the King Jay Davila case.
And we have one last case that to talk about, and that's the death of Kaylee Mandati. Mark Howerton is on trial, was on trial for murder last year. And I believe that that was ultimately ended in a mistrial. So what are the updates on that?
Well, Luis, this was a very large trial. It lasted almost 10 days, I believe. And Mark Howerton of Tyler, Texas, was dating Kaylee Mandati, who was 19 years old. She was a Trinity University freshman who was involved with Howerton. And at the trial, Howerton's attorney, John Hunter, said that the pair were involved in a, quote, volatile relationship. There had been a history of abuse. Howerton was accused of pushing Kaylee around at times, and they had gone to a music festival on October 29th, and she ended up getting hurt so badly that she was basically in a coma by the time Mark Howerton took her to a hospital north of San Antonio. They had left the music festival and were driving around, and he says that Kaylee Mandati was drunk or on drugs and had fallen down many times, and he took her to a hospital because she became non-responsive inside his car. The prosecution has alleged that he killed her in the course of either sexually assaulting her or battering her. Now, the trial, again, was this was such a large trial. It attracted media attention. The courtroom was packed with not only all of local media, but there were national media there as well. And after almost 10 days, the jury ended up not being able to make a unanimous decision as to whether or not he was guilty of murder. So the judge declared a mistrial. So Mark Howerton currently is out on bond. And since this happened it's almost been a year now. This was in early December when this trial happened. And so it was expected to be retried this year. But again, because of the pandemic, things have not occurred as they were expected. So currently, online court records list Mark Howerton's retrial date as January 22nd. But again, that's a month. That's about a month and a half from now. So we shall see.
All right. I think those are all the major cases that we kind of missed. I'm sure there's hundreds more. But I feel like this is a good episode back. We're going to be doing this more regularly.
Yes.
Is there anything else you wanted to add, Elizabeth?
You know, we were speaking earlier about Joe Gonzalez having a concern about, you know, how they would, you know, the dynamics involved in the courtroom because, you know, people are wearing masks or they're on a video screen and things like that. He also mentions that, you know, in lieu of jury trials, in some cases, defendants can consider other things. So, you know, people should not think that there isn't anything that can be done, you know, that people at the in the courthouse aren't working, because I can tell you just by monitoring different proceedings on Zoom that things that took just maybe an hour before takes several hours now to do, because you have all of this technology that, you know, you have to follow. And so on some of these cases, they can handle it, you know, online or virtually. But, you know, one of the things that Joe Gonzalez had spoken about was that, you know, parties in a criminal case can waive a jury trial and ask the court to decide the guilt of an accused. And this option requires both the state and the defendant to waive or to give up a right to a trial in front of a jury. So he has assured me, the DA, that his office has already participated in some bench trials since the start of his administrations to try to keep, you know, things moving along. And Judge Rangel, again, you know, assures us that they're doing everything that they possibly can so that, you know, when things do get back to normal, they can proceed on, and it's probably going to be a real tense situation because so many of these cases are going to be backed up. You know, there's other high profile cases that happened this year that now probably won't even see the light of day until late next year or maybe, you know, into 2022. So, you know, all good things to think about people who are really working hard to try to keep normalcy going, especially in the criminal justice system. So, you know, I'm sure we'll talk more about this.
We certainly will. I can't wait to do this again. It was good talking to you, Elizabeth.
Thank you very much, Luis.